All right, so Billy, Tony, and Chris were howling with laughter as Greg Cody again just started yammering through the break, paying no attention. Pablo really, like, honest to God,
the worst.
Pablo was so disappointing today. He really just sucked the life right out of the show. But, Billy, what was happening there at the end? Because I couldn't hear. Cody got clipped on the hard network out but kept talking, as he often does, for a full 30 seconds afterward. And he hasn't noticed yet that our greatest tell is when we take an interest in something that's super interesting to him, but not to us. And he will yammer endlessly, and we can get him forever on the hard network out if we just ask him about anything he cares about. And Pablo really screwed up because, Cody, during the pandemic, for about 10 months now, we're batting about 99% on getting you on the hard network out. It's easy. What happened at the end of the show there, Billy?
Well, after we went off air, maybe we were still on the air, Greg immediately cursed and said, holy bleep. And Chris said, Dad, why'd you curse? And he said, I didn't. And then a moment later said, I have a tendency to mispronounce O's as I's.
Right. I said, holy shoot.
Now, wait a minute, Greg, explain this to me, because you're getting more and more dangerous, okay, by not knowing when you're on air, when you're not on air. When we did that megacast and you showed up, hopped up on whatever drugs you were on, you didn't know where you were because it was at night. You didn't know you were in a studio. And it's weird. Now, don't make that face at me. Chris, am I wrong about what happened with your dad that night? We did a megacast. We're trying to do something, and he was bouncing around in here, pinballing, really confused. The light's confused.
I don't think he was hopped up on anything. He was hopped up on age. I mean,
no. Chris, what happened there? Wasn't he on
something? He was loopy. I don't remember if it was after a surgery or something. There was something where he had medicine in his system, and he was loopy.
All right. So
I was high on life.
Okay. High on life. Greg, this is what I'm telling you, okay? You came very close to saying the F word on the air, and we really need to not have any more trouble around your family. Like, I don't need any more of that in my life. You can't say the F word. And it was seconds after, you don't know whether your microphone's working or not, and you just shouted it at your computer because you thought your microphone wasn't working. What if it had been, Greg? Like, What are we supposed to do with the idea that you mouthed the F word really angrily because of whatever happened with Pablo earlier?
Well, doesn't Mike have like a mute dump button or whatever you call it? I don't know the lingo. I don't know the radio lingo, but
he does have a dump button. But can we refrain from using the F word anywhere around a microphone? That's all. I think it's
I didn't realize I had. I apologize to the sensibilities of the listeners, because I really didn't realize that I'd done
it's not the close. Listeners, Greg, it's our employers. Like, you could get us into a lot of trouble shouting curse words on the air.
Yeah, I didn't mean to. I can do nothing but cry your pardon.
Mike, you were making a face because of how much Stugatz likes to use the F word.
No one says the F word more than Stugatz.
What the f*** are you talking about?
Cody, what happened? Did you feel Pablo suck the soul out of the show today? Because I want to know how, Chris, how do you, knowing your dad, how do you imagine your dad really experienced us calling him nonstop during his back in my day? Because I have not enjoyed that much fun at your father's expense since we were being silent. How many years ago was that he was in San Antonio? And he got furious with us because he would talk on the radio and all of us would be silent. And then he'd be like, start singing and not know what to do. And we just stopped.
I'd forgotten that. That was funny.
It's funny now.
You didn't think it was funny then.
I'm a working journalist. I'm on a road trip covering a team. I'm devoting some time to the show. And all of a sudden, it's all this nonsense, you know.
I actually don't. I think on this rare occasion, I think he kind of got it that it was funny. I don't think he was furious, actually. I could be wrong. Maybe I'm going to get a text.
He stormed out of the room, did he not? Like, he wasn't available to us the next 10 minutes.
Well, let's ask. I mean, Greg, what were you feeling during that segment?
Honest,
it was a great segment.
It was a great segment. Maybe the best one during the pandemic.
It took me a minute to warm up to the fact that exactly what was happening, because I'll be honest with you. The first few times the phone kept ringing, I'm just thinking, I am cursed. What a coincidence.
Well, no, the first time it wasn't us. This is the part that I want to tell you about that the audience doesn't see and now Les gets to see because Billy's on remote. Billy's an anarchist, okay? Billy gets
Why don't you explain what happened, Bill?
Yeah, Billy gets to these things before the rest of us. And I saw, it felt like genuine communication. I saw a flash in Billy's eyes of delight that said to me, because I was about to start in the chat telling Chris and Billy and Tony, start calling your dad. But Billy was already there. He got there first. And did he text you, Chris? Is that what happened?
He messaged me privately in the Zoom. And
I would
Greg. It was brilliant. Really, like, really, as soon as I saw it, I was like, that's so good. And yeah, and it was like we were all one moment. Like, as I was doing it, Dan was signaling, do it, do it. It was cool to see us all on the same page with that, except my dad.
This is a
sad moment. Of Billy as my ally.
It's a sad, you're right. It's such a sad moment because Greg is deflated here. He never thought that Billy would be the one to do this.
He does feel betrayed. Is that what's happening? Because, Greg, over the last few weeks, you basically have had problems with everyone here except for Billy and Tony.
That's the truth.
Everyone, I know it's the truth. You called Mike an asshole on the air. That's something that you did because you're a random cursor. And so here we find ourselves in a place where Billy has betrayed you. And Billy, and I'm willing to say it publicly, even though he's going to keep saying, what do you mean?
Unbelievable.
But Billy was the first. Billy, you can't dispute that.
These accusations.
Billy, I saw it on your face before it was on anybody's face. And you feel hurt by that?
Me or Greg?
No, Greg.
Well, on a ranking of betrayal and hurt, what Billy did to me ranks just below Christopher giving out my private home phone number to a national audience.
That's another thing.
Wait a minute.
Did that happen on air? I didn't even hear that. I was so busy dialing the numbers.
Oh, that's great.
And trusting you guys to not do that. Right, Dan, when you called, my dad was thinking, Christopher, you're doing it again. And I was like, no, this one's not me. And I just wanted to show my phone that I wasn't calling him. And apparently the whole America now knows my dad's home phone number.
The good thing about that is now you've drawn attention to it so people can go back and find exactly where that was.
Greg, you have to change your number. I mean, this might be the moment for you to get rid of a landline. You don't need a landline, Greg. What do you need a landline for?
Now the mic's not working.
Now he's muted himself again.
No, I have been saying for years to my wife that why do we need a landline? We all have cell phones. Why do we need a landline?
How often does that ring? How often? Like, what was the bad timing of that? Was that a telemarketer just calling? Because the first one was not us.
Right.
It rings, I would say it rings 10 times a day. And I saw something the other day that I've never seen before. Have any of you guys seen this? Where you get an unidentified call and it actually says on it, scam likely or likely scam.
Yeah, all the time.
Have you ever seen that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I hadn't until yesterday.
That's me calling you.
That is the caller ID for Stugatz. Yes.
for
all of us. That's right. That's it. Kind of, listen, the what comes up on my phone when Stugatz calls me is not only scam likely, but a photo of him. Why were you in those old 790 boots? You were wearing some furry boots of some sort, and you were sitting in the studio.
The moon boots.
It was a Heat fan, right?
Roman Jones.
Yes. Oh, the nightclub owner.
Yes.
He was wearing those moon boots, and you did an event. While you guys were talking, I pulled up the receiving stats in the NFL this season.
Oh,
Terry McLaurin is the fourth leading receiver in the NFL. DJ Moore is fifth. In fact, there's an embarrassing amount of names that have more receiving yards than Devontae Parker, including one Cole Beasley.
Oof.
Wow.
Oof.
We never called anyone on DJ Moore.
I've been texting with Mina all day, and she still doesn't respond to my question. I think she's doing it on purpose. But DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson are both better than Devontae Parker from a receiving yard standpoint anyways, guys. Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, also, that was a little bit of a debate, also both better than Devontae Parker from an output standpoint.
So, you're really bringing it all together there, Mike, with facts and information about a conversation that was pretty useless
about four hours ago. I hate an open loop. got to close those loops. Otherwise, you know what you have? Something that is irrefutably not a loop.
Okay, so you've closed the loop there. And Greg was hurt. Greg was wounded. Where do we leave this as we head into the Thanksgiving holidays?
BLT.
You leave this with DJ Chark indeed being better than Devontae Parker.
Get out of here.
Numbers don't lie.
It's been a weird year, okay? So allow me to tell the audience here by way of a little goodbye here.
Ooh,
for a few
nice
days.
Little W for Tim Patrick and Jerry Jeudy take. Both better than Devontae Parker.
A weird year.
That is correct. Thank you, Chris. The weird year includes, most recently, you being fired.
And Mike taking Henry Ruggs over Devontae Parker.
Yeah, that's a thing that happened earlier.
I'm scrolling
which was
for
weirder?
Ruggs,
which was a weirder thing to happen? You Mike know, doing that or me getting fired?
All right, I'll be a Henry Ruggs guy for the rest of my life. You guys be Devontae Parker guys, and we'll meet somewhere in a couple of years.
We'll settle this in 4 years, Mike. We will find out in 4 years when and where Mike Ryan might have been right about Ruggs.
You're getting all excited about a guy that has like the same output as Hunter Renfrow, so I'd cool your jets.
Renfro's good.
So, well, Gruden certainly loves him.
Of course he does.
I want to thank the audience for the support. It's been a weird year, and I don't want to do a hacky Thanksgiving thing, but I do want to thank you guys for during the pandemic. When I say you guys, I mean the Shipping Container. I mean Mike and Stu Gatz. Cody, for just it's been a rough year in terms of everything happening in America and all around us. And Thanksgiving is going to be weird. And I desperately miss my family. I'm scared to be around my family. I'm no different than any of you are on some of this stuff where it's been just the worst, weirdest year. And this is weird because I just got married and at home, it's been the happiest year of my life. But it's been the weirdest, worst year outside of that. And this show, not just for you, because I've told you before that the greatest compliment that we get around here is that we brought you through a dark time. We brought you through some stuff where you needed some help.
It is time now for a weekly update on our favorite team, Rex Lobos. Here is their head coach and president of football operations, Greg Cody.
Lobos! Oh, people, I wish I had better news. The 33rd, Greg's Lobos, has lost 5 games in a row. But here's the upside. Here's the upside as we steam toward the PFBI Fantasy Playoffs. Our playoffs, like the NFC East, I'm not out of it yet, okay? 5 wins may get me into this doggone, I almost cursed again, doggone playoffs.
What is this, MLS?
You know what? I'm not one to make excuses, which means excuses are about to come. But we lost Dak Prescott. We've gotten crap mostly out of Michael Thomas, our number one draft pick. We've had all kind of injuries and bad luck. But despite all that, the Lobos are still in the playoff hunt. So I have only 3 words for you. We are the Lobos!
Lobos! Lobos! Lobos!
Mina just texted me. She'll take DJ Moore over.
Oh, go to hell.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Dan, you were saying? Dan?
Dan? Dan, you good?
Dan.
Allison?